You know, it's good just to tell the Lord that you love him. You know, when you can't think of anything else you want to tell the Father, just tell him how much you love him. Just set your love upon him. That's good. Whenever someone says to me that whenever I have that invitation, just say to the Lord what's really on your heart. All I can think of to say is, I love you. You know, I don't know if I've shared this before, but this is some time ago, but I'll never forget it as long as I live. And I was just driving along in my car, and I was going to use the phrase babbling before the Lord almost all day. Just talking to him and just telling him all these things and just sharing with him and just loving him and having the best time with him. And it was on the way home this particular evening. And I'm sure it was his spirit, because it had never happened to me before that, but it just came upon me like this as I was going down Fulton Industrial Boulevard, and I was just telling the Lord, just going on, beating my gums before the Lord. And all of a sudden I stopped and I said, you know, Lord, I've been going on like this all day. Is there something you'd like to say to me? You know, sometimes we don't give him an opportunity. We're so busy talking that we're not able to listen. It's like we're like that in the houses sometimes, aren't we? In our own homes. But I said, Lord, I've been so busy now. Let me just give you an opportunity. Is there something you want to say to me? And I no sooner got the words out of my mouth, and I said them aloud just like that, and he just spoke in my spirit, not audibly, but powerfully. And he said, yes, son, I love you. Well, I almost went off the road. It was just, you know, I knew he loved me. He said he loved me. But I tell you, when God says, I love you in the spirit, man, when you get the revelation of the love of God, it'll do something to you. And it's not like going to church and the preacher says, Jesus loves you. And you sing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know. And that's the song we learn first, you know, when we're this big. And we grow up, we know Jesus loves you. But when Jesus says, son, I love you. Now, man, that'll do something to you. And I'll never forget that experience with God as long as I live. And sometimes as I'm just sharing my love with him, as I'm just worshiping him and just telling him how much I love him, he'll bring back to me that remembrance. I know exactly where I was. I know exactly the spot. And I don't remember the day, but I remember the time and circumstance. But it just had a powerful impact on me. The revelation in my spirit that God Almighty, the one that made all of this, loves me. And that same God loves you in just the same way. Praise the Lord. Can you take a little of God's word tonight?
Amen.
Huh? Turn over, if you will, in the Gospel of Luke to the fourth chapter, and I'm just going to share just a brief insight into something that I noticed yesterday in ministering this, that ministering to an individual, and the word seemed to bless this particular passage of God's word, and it hadn't been seen before by this particular individual, and I kept getting the impression today that God wanted us to share it tonight. You know, so many times, even though we're in Christ Jesus, we're so concerned about protecting ourselves. We're so concerned about preserving ourselves and making sure that we're okay. We seem to be so concerned oftentimes that when we begin to see trouble developing, we get thrown into a panic before it even develops. Or in the middle of it, while the difficulty is ongoing, we're fretting and frustrated and worrying before God. God, aren't you going to do something about this? Father, how come in the name of Jesus? I rebuke this thing in Jesus' name. Lord, take care of this for me. Can't you see I'm in trouble here? And we just fret and fume before the presence of God. Well, Jesus, the Bible says, is to be our example. And so often the scripture says we are to rest in the Lord, trusting in him. The girls sang tonight about trusting in the Lord. We read the 91st Psalm, and it said that he that dwelleth in the shadow of the Most High, that no evil shall befall him, and no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. He said they'll fall on your right hand, and 10,000 will fall on your left, but it shall not come nigh thee. God has promised in his word to look after those that belong to him.
He has promised to protect and preserve and look after those that are committed to him. Paul said, God is able to keep that which is committed unto him. And that means you, and that means me. Now, something that we've seen in the life of Christ, he being our example, I think ought to give us some help in this particular area tonight. In the fourth chapter, we begin to read in verse 16. And he, that is Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias. That's Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the day of Elias, now that's Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisaeus, that's Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Jesus was saying that the presence and the power and the blessing of God had not been poured out on those that were the religious of that day, but they were poured out on those that had hearts that were turned towards God. Gentiles, non-Jews, this widow woman, and also this Syrian soldier. And that's why they had this great wrath against him. Now listen to this, and this is what we're coming to. This is what I want you to see. Verse 28, let me read that again. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these words, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill, whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Does it strike you curious that Jesus did not resist these men? Does it strike you interesting that Jesus was not concerned that they grabbed him up physically in the synagogue? They took him and carried him bodily out of the city. It says they thrust him out of the city. They carried him up to the top of a hill, to a cliff, and they were going to push him over. They wanted to kill him because of what he'd said. Now here is Jesus in dire straits. He's in a circumstance about to be killed. He's about to lose his life. You remember when the swineherd fell off the cliff, you know what happened to them? They all died. What do you think was going to happen to Jesus when he fell off the cliff? The same thing. And it struck me strange when I first saw this. Why didn't he just take care of the problem while he was down there in the synagogue? It says that they took him in the synagogue, they thrust him out of the city, they carried him bodily up to the top of this hill, and they were going to push him off, throw him headlong off of it in order to destroy him. Nowhere in this passage of Scripture does it say that Jesus resisted. Nowhere in this passage of Scripture does it say that Jesus got all excited because God wasn't taking care of him. Don't you wonder what we might have done while these men are carrying us bodily out of the city? While they're getting the tar and the feathers boiled up over here, when we see the cliff, which is just appearing on the horizon, and we know that what they're going to do is take us to the end of the cliff and throw us off, don't you think that we might be on our knees beseeching God, what is the matter, Father? Where are you now? Or don't you see that I'm in trouble? Didn't you say that you're able to keep that which is committed unto you? Can't you see the circumstances I'm in? Why aren't you moving in my circumstances? Why aren't you looking after me? Why aren't you saving me? Jesus didn't do any of that. Why didn't he? Because he knew his heavenly Father. And he knew that when the threat of death came, that God would be there to keep him. He did not resist when they carried him out of the synagogue. He did not resist when they took him up the hill. He did not resist when they took him to the edge of the cliff. And when they got to the point where they were ready to throw him off headlong, God Almighty moved on that situation, and he passed through the midst of them and went his way, and he disappeared, and they never even saw him again. They didn't know where he was. He just walked through them. Now, that's not the first, and that's not the only time that ever happened to Jesus. It was commonplace in his ministry. If you'll turn over to the eighth chapter of the book of John, Jesus giving us examples here of what it means to trust God, what it means to really believe him, what it means to really put your trust and your faith in God, knowing that at the time you need it, God will bring deliverance. When you need it, God will bring deliverance. It seems that if this ministers to you the same way it does to me, I'll tell you what God is saying to me. Don't get excited. Don't get all forlorn and all worked up. Don't you know that I know what's about to take place? Don't you know that I know the future? Am I not Alpha and Omega? Don't you think that I know the end from the beginning? Do you think that you take one step that I don't know about? I know the hairs that are on the top of your head. When a sparrow falls, I know about it, he said. And a sparrow so insignificant that two of them you sell for a penny, but not a single one falls that I don't know about it. Don't you think, children, that I don't know exactly what your circumstance is right now and what it's going to be a moment from now and a moment from then and a moment from then? God knows. Now, Jesus knew that God knows. Jesus knew that God knew the end from the beginning, and he put his trust in God. In the eighth chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus had just done some hard preaching. He had just said to the Pharisees, "You don't understand me. The reason that you don't is you don't hear my word because you are of your father the devil." He called them a bunch of Satan's children, the religious people of his day, and they didn't appreciate it, understandably so. And in verse 57, "Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." He identified himself with God. He's before Abraham was, I am. Then, listen to this. "Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Isn't that interesting? They took up stones to stone him to death, which was the penalty for blasphemy. But Jesus wasn't concerned about that. He hid himself under the protection of God, and he passed through the midst of them, and he went his way. In the 10th chapter of the book of John, Jesus again identified himself with God, the Father. In the 39th verse, it says, John 10:39, "Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand." They sought again to take him, and he escaped out of their hand. Three times at least that we know of in the scripture, attempts were made on the life of Christ, and by the power of God, God kept him. We spend so much of our time worrying God about things that aren't a problem. Now, when you're standing on the end of the cliff and they're about to push you over, yeah, okay, you got a problem. You have a problem. But while they're dragging you out of the city, you don't have a problem yet. The problem is not till you're standing on the edge of the cliff and they're ready to push you across. And when you're standing on the edge of the cliff, do you know who's standing with you? The same one that was with Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Who's that fourth man that's in there? It looks like the Son of Man. Who is he? And the girls were singing tonight, I wonder what it would have been like to be Shadrach and Meshach in the fire and to come out and not have any flame or any smoke. Wonder what that'd been like. Well, that's the way God wants us to live, like that. Depending on Him, believing on Him. God's able to keep that which is committed unto Him. Put your trust in Him. Put your faith in Him. Dwell under the shadow of the Almighty God. For He can protect you and He can preserve you. And that's the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Would you pray with me, please? And just give the Lord thanks. Father, we just want to thank You. We just want to say thank You for the example of Jesus, for the fact that we know that You love us like You love Him. For we are His body, we're of His flesh, and we're of His bone. We are organically joined to Him and with Him. We are joint heirs with Him. And we know, our Father, that as we are in Christ, that You have the same concern and interest for us that You did for Him. We thank You, Father, that You are able to keep us as we commit ourselves unto You. And Father, as the trials come and as the afflictions come, and surely they do, the Scripture says that they that would live godly lives in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, yes. But Lord, as those things happen, we just ask You that through the message tonight, through the Word, that You would make us to be ever mindful, always and always mindful and never forgetting that You are God. That You are God. That as You protected the Lord Jesus, as He confounded His enemies and just passed by them, that so shall we confound our enemies, Satan and his demon powers, and pass by them, and they won't even know where we went. Hallelujah. But we'll be out sharing the good news that Jesus is alive. We'll be out testifying to the love of God and the power of His Holy Spirit. Bless You, Father, tonight for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope that blesses you. It does bless me. It just blesses me to know that. To know that God's looking after us. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. All right, let me ask you just to stand, and could we just close the service tonight by singing God is so good.
God is so
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let me hear one good praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be dismissed in His joy.